As you dive into this teaching from High Point Church, we pray that it will help you grow in your faith as you believe in, belong to, and become more like Jesus. If these messages bless you, would you consider giving back in support of this ministry? You can give and learn more about High Point at www.highpoint.church.
This is it. You made it. It's the last Sunday of the year. We can all now collectively exhale. I think we can agree that 2020 has left a mark on all of us. It's marked us in some good ways, and it's marked us in some not so good ways. I mean, think about your own life. How has 2020 marked you personally? Today, I want to talk to you about how God marks us with the gospel. We've been in a series called One, going through 1 John, and today we're going to do an overview of the whole book and kind of see what the whole thing is about. The title of this message is Marked in 2020. And what we're going to find and see in 1 John is five marks of a genuine believer. John says in 1 John 5:13, it's kind of the summary verse of the whole book. It says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Notice he says, these things refers to what John has written about in his letter. So we're gonna explore through 1 John today and study these things, which we're calling the five marks of a genuine believer. These marks give us assurance of salvation. As John said, so that you may know you have eternal life. You don't have to doubt, you don't have to worry, you can have full confidence of eternal life in Jesus Christ and with Jesus Christ. So let's look at these marks of a genuine believer. And as we do, I want this question to kind of be in the back of your mind. Are these marks evident in my life? Do they describe me? Have I been growing in these areas or have I been struggling in them in 2020? To give you a heads up, we're gonna be closing the message with communion. It's gonna be an opportunity for us to just pause at the end of the year and to prepare for 2021 as we move into it. And we're gonna examine our hearts, making sure that 2020 has marked us the way that God wanted us to be marked. So open up your Bibles to 1 John 4:15, and let's start here. Mark number one of a genuine believer is this: abide continually. Let me read it to you. It says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. There it is right there in the text. God abides in us and us in him. We are to abide continually. But what does it mean for God to abide in us and for us to abide in him? Well, let's first look at what the word abide means. It means to remain. It means to dwell, to not depart, to make your home in. We're gonna get to that a little bit more in a moment, but look again at what it says. It says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. That's where abiding starts. Abiding begins when we confess Jesus is the Son of God. So before we go any further, I wanna ask you, have you confessed Christ personally? In your heart, through prayer, have you confessed Christ publicly with your mouth and even in baptism as a believer? If you haven't, you can do that today. Don't let 2020 finish without confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We say around here the ABCs of salvation are this, that you would admit that you are a sinner. Nothing you can do can change that. No amount of good deeds, no amount of giving to the poor. Admit that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior. Second thing is this, believe. Believe that Jesus Christ came to earth. He lived the life that we should have lived. He died the death that we should have died. And he rose again so that we can have new life in him. And he wipes out the debt that we owed because of our sin. The third thing is this, confess. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Confess that he is the Son of God. Confess that he is your Savior. And when we do this, when we confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God begins to abide in us. He makes his home in us. Paul says it's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. That's incredible. It's not only that God abides in us. What does 1 John 4:15 say? It says that we are to abide in God. Abiding is reciprocal. Have you ever thought about it this way, that God abides in us and we need to abide in God? Like, and as you think about this scenario, who's gonna be holding up their end of the deal every single day? God is. Which begs the question for us, for you and for me, how are we abiding in him? We say it like this. I've heard Pastor Ron say, abiding is continuous dependent living. It's continuous, meaning it's ongoing, it's active, it's not passive, it's dependent on the Lord. And living, it's a way of life. And I love this analogy of the word abide to make your home in. So God has made his home in us. He dwells with us when we've confessed that Jesus is the Son of God. And we are to make our home in him. So what does it look like to make our home in him? And I know this might not be true for everyone's circumstance, but a home ought to be a place where you feel at home, where there's safety, where there's protection, where there's security. Maybe it's a place of comfort, where you're loved, where you're known, a place where you take ownership, where you care for it, you work at it. Have you made that kind of a home in Christ? I think the sad reality is that many Christians treat Jesus and his word more like a hotel and not a home. Think about it. A hotel, you don't remain or take up residence in a hotel. It's always temporary. You come, you go. There's no ownership. You don't care about the stuff that's in it. You're just using it for as long as it suits you, and then you move on. I think too often we head to the hotel of Jesus on Sundays and then come back to whatever we've actually made our home in, whatever we're continuously, dependently living for. And we seek to find peace. We try to find comfort. We try to find satisfaction. Sometimes we try to abide in these homes of family or work or education, success. Maybe it's approval. Maybe it's relationships. Then all of a sudden, when things get hard in those areas and we get frustrated, we're banging our head against the wall going, why is this not working? Well, then we head to hotel.com or we head to Airbnb and we go, Jesus, I need a break from the everyday right here. Don't Airbnb Jesus in 2021. Make your home in him. Abide continually in him. How can you make sure that you are abiding continually in Jesus in 2021? How can you make sure that you're continuously dependent on him? I think there's a couple ways. We say this all the time at High Point at Home. We say, connect with God and connect with others. So I think the first is this, abide in fellowship with God. That's not just on Sundays. It's every day through the word, through prayer, through your own personal worship. I think another way is abiding in fellowship with others. Are you in a part of a community? Are you doing life with other people? Are you part of even corporate worship? Are you serving? Are you caring for others? That's what it means to abide continually, to make our home in him. The second mark of a genuine believer flows right out of this. And actually, if you look back at your Bibles in verse 16, it follows the verse that we were just in. It says this, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Second mark of a genuine believer is this, to love, and to love sacrificially. Love is a distinguishing mark of a genuine believer. Pastor Ron said it last week, love starts with God, it's shown by his son, and it's shared by his people. But for now, let's look at 1 John 3:18 and see what it says here. It says, little children, let us not love in word or in talk, but in deed and in truth. See, love does more than talk. Love acts. Love is not just a feel thing, it's a do thing. Love is more than lip service. Love requires sacrifice. And the immediate context of this verse in verse 18 is coming right after verses 16 and 17, where we see the demonstration of love through sacrifice. We see in verse 16, Jesus is the ultimate example of sacrificial love. It says, he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And then in verse 17, it gets practical right there. It says, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? To love sacrificially means to help meet the needs when you have the ability to do so. I know what you're thinking. I can't meet every need. And no, nobody can meet every need. But ask yourself, what need can you meet? That's why I love High Point Cares, the local outreach ministry of our church. It's such a great example of this. The care center is the physical presence of High Point Cares at each of our locations. You guys, you have been showing the love of Jesus to our community. The care center is being the church outside the walls of the church. See, across all of our care centers. I mean, think about this. Since March, we've seen 14,000 bags of food being distributed to families that are in need. We've had over 7,000 volunteer hours. And just this past weekend, over 1,000 kids served through a Care Center Christmas event, which was in partnership with Toys for Tots. Now, what we're doing as a church is modeling what we want you to do in your life. And if I can be honest, I was one of those people that was super excited about the Care Center, talked about the Care Center, man, all these incredible things that the Care Center is doing, but I actually wasn't doing anything about it. It wasn't until a few months ago where I was convicted and I said, I need to be a part of this and help serve in it. And I tell you what, I regretted it. Why didn't I do this sooner? So the question I have for you is, how has God displayed his love in and through you in 2020? In what ways is he calling you to display his love in greater ways in the year ahead? Pastor Ron said it this way last week. He said, are you more of a thermometer or a thermostat? Do we know the difference? The thermometer just takes the temperature, kind of looks around, says, oh, this is this, this is that, this is this. But a thermostat sets the temperature. Let's set the temperature of love in our communities by moving beyond just talking about showing love and actually putting love into action. And you can think about your life. Think about your situation, your circle of influence. And think about it in concentric circles of who you can show the love of Jesus to. Your family, your church, your community. How can you love not just in word or talk, but in deed and in truth in each of these areas? Let's look at the third mark of a genuine believer. It's this, it's follow faithfully. 1 John 2:3-6, you should be able to flip over one page in your Bibles. But it says this in verse 3, it says, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. John makes it pretty clear, to keep his commandments is to follow faithfully. And following faithfully is actually a sign of knowing him. Think about this yourself. Do you follow just anyone? Not normally. You got to think, okay, has this individual proven themselves? What's their track record? What are they asking me to do? Is it worth it? You know, in order to follow, it really takes trust. So think to yourself about how has God proven himself faithful? Not just in your life, but in the lives of those around you. What is he asking you to do? Is it for our benefit? The beauty is that we know that God is faithful. And he has proven himself through his word, through his creation, through his sacrifice, through his love. And the list goes on. God is true and he is faithful to his word. And because of that, therefore, we must follow him and follow faithfully. Another way to say it is that to follow is to obey. Obedience is doing the will of God. And I got to ask myself, am I willing to keep his commands? That's obedience. That's following faithfully. And obedience seems pretty straightforward, but let's look back at what John has to say in verse 4. He says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this, we know that we are in him. There's some strong words in there. In our house, we say it a bit like this. Obedience is doing what you're asked, when you're asked, and with a good attitude. So I think following faithfully is doing what you've been asked, when you've been asked, and with a good attitude. To use an example from our home, we love our kids, but if you have kids or you've been around kids, there's always a little bit of not full obedience or not fully following. So think about it this way. What is partial obedience, obedience? So when I ask my kids, hey, can you do the dishes and clean up the kitchen? They know what I'm asking for. They know that I'm asking, hey, I want you to do the dishes and clean up the kitchen. But when I come back and my wife and I, we look at the kitchen and there's a mess all over the counter. There's still like food in the sink. There's pots that are sitting there. We're like, what happened here? Oh, well, we're gonna let those soak because there's too much, it was too hard to clean them. That's only partial obedience. Partial obedience is still actually disobedience. What about delayed obedience? Delayed obedience is still disobedience as well. When we ask our kids, hey, we folded all the clothes, here you go. Amber folded all the clothes. And she puts them there and says, hey, make sure you put away your clothes. And our kids went, yeah, for sure. I'm gonna put them away for sure. Yeah. 1 day goes by, 2 days goes by, 3 days goes by until finally they're put away Is delayed obedience obedience? No, it's still disobedience because I'm doing it on my own timeline. Yeah, I'm going to do that, but I'll get around to it. What about obedience with the wrong attitude? That's actually still disobedience as well. When we say, hey, would you share this with your sister? Oh, I will, but I'm not going to be happy about it. You know, it's easy to laugh at it when it's talking about kids and things like dishes and putting clothes away, but I think we need to ask ourselves if we've ever partially obeyed something that God has commanded. Or God asked you to do something, but I'm going to get to that later, God. Yeah. I'm going to get to that, but right now I'm going to do this. Or was there a time where you've been asked to do something and you know it's the right thing to do, but you're unhappy, frustrated, dragging your feet the whole way, and that's disobedience still in our heart. That's not following faithfully. So what is the example of obedience? What's the standard that we have? Let's look back at verse 6. It says this, whoever says he abides. Have you seen abide pop in all the time? Whoever says that he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Who's he talking about? Who's John talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the example. If we say we abide in Jesus, then we ought to walk in the same way that Jesus walked. So do I need to book a ticket and go like retrace the steps of Jesus through Israel? No, that's not what he's talking about. It's how did Jesus live his life day to day? And the answer is he faithfully followed his Father. He was obedient to his Father. Jesus says it all the time in the Gospels. He says, listen, I have not spoken of my own authority, but because the Father has given me this commandment, this is why I say, this is what I do. He's always pointing back to the Father. The Father has told me, and I do this. Why did he have to be obedient? Isn't he God? Yes, Jesus is God, but Jesus is also fully man, and he modeled what it means to follow faithfully. He continually pointed to the Father and did the work of the Father, and you might think to yourself, well, that's easy for Jesus to do. He's God. I mean, but actually look at Hebrews. Hebrews 5:8 says this, although Jesus was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Catch that. Obedience is learned. Many of us have suffered in some way, shape, or form this year. Whether it was through sickness, whether it was through job loss, whether it was through relational turmoil, financial distress. Have we learned how to follow faithfully even through that suffering? Have we learned how to be obedient even in the midst of those difficult times? As you look ahead to the year ahead, in what areas is God calling you to follow him more faithfully in 2021? And this really leads us right to the fourth mark of a genuine believer, which is to trust completely. You know, through suffering, through crisis, our faith really is revealed. The question is, what has 2020 revealed about your faith? Has your faith been in your self-efforts? Has it been to control your circumstances? Has your faith been in the government or the outcome of an election? Or maybe it's been your faith is in Wall Street or your faith is in science? Or has your faith really been in the Lord? Are you trusting God completely? Not just for eternal life, but for everyday life. Let's look at 1 John 3, the first couple verses of 1 John 3. What I want you to do is I just want you to sit and listen as I read this over you. It says this in 1 John 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but what we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Show of hands, who's ready for the return of Christ? Who's ready to trade in this broken world, this broken body for glory like right now? I know I am. These words should fill us with hope. These words should remind us that this world is actually not our home. Because of God's great love, we are not only forgiven, but we have become family. God has adopted us into his family. And see, the world doesn't understand this because they don't understand who God is. They don't understand the joy and peace that is found in God. Through faith in Jesus, you're not just forgiven, but because of God's great love, you're adopted into his family and now will be a part of his family for eternity. See, when we understand this reality, it changes the perspective around us. This world is not our home. This isn't the end here. So God's love for us doesn't stop at salvation, but it continues through sanctification. He wants to continue to form us into the image of his son. And then it culminates in our glorification with him one day for eternity in paradise. That's God's love for you. So if God's love is for you and God is coming again for you, do you trust him completely in the here and the now? Are you trusting God completely in times of joy and in times of sorrow, in times of blessing and in times of hardship? Are you trusting God despite the uncertainties of our circumstances because you're certain of God's love and his faithfulness? As a church, we are seeking to trust God completely. There was no manual on how to lead a church through the pandemic prior to 2020. And we're so thankful for your faithfulness to High Point in this season, as together we have been trusting God completely. In a season where a lot of churches have pulled back, we have sought to lean into what God has and what he wants to do in and through us, believing that every crisis is actually an opportunity for Jesus to shine. Think about this. Even in 2020, we started a new campus in Monmouth. We opened a care center at every location, and we've expanded High Point Espanol Ministry. That's the work actually that God has done. And really, as we think about the One Initiative, you've been hearing about this, that's what this is all about. It's about giving from a heart of generosity that trusts the Lord completely so that we can love sacrificially by bringing hope to our hurting world through serving the marginalized, by planting churches, by expanding global missions. You know, our goal has always been 100% engagement. And so far, hundreds of families have participated in the One Initiative, giving hundreds of thousands of dollars. Throw some praise hands and party emojis in the comments because that's incredible. And as we end the year, would you look at your personal finances and would they reflect that you're trusting God completely? Think about that. Would your bank account reflect that giving back to God is a priority in your life and not just a tip to the Lord? That's the I treat hotel Jesus. That's the I tip the bellboy. Oh yeah, thanks. That was nice. Thanks for serving me. But is it actually sacrificial giving from a heart that trusts God completely, that he will provide all your needs in the future? Giving in such a way where God is put on display and he is glorified. Will you join us in giving to One? If you haven't already, you can take this opportunity to give back. It's an initiative about boldly showing and sharing the love of Jesus with our hurting world, which leads to our last mark of a genuine believer, which is to share boldly. This is in 1 John 1, verses 2 and 3. And I'm going to read this to you. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and we testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and it was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and is with the Son, Jesus Christ. The overflow of a genuine believer is to share boldly about Jesus, proclaiming him to others. The life that was made manifest that John's talking about. We just celebrated Christmas. This is the life that John's talking about. This is Jesus came to earth. The manger was a crossing of the bridge to come reach down to the people that he loved. Tim Keller says, Christmas is telling you, you couldn't get to heaven on your own. God had to come to you and God came to us. And John says, we have seen it and we have heard. Have you seen Jesus? No, probably not physically. But if you're a follower of Christ, you've seen his grace, you've seen his mercy, you've seen new life, you've seen transformation, and that is available only through Jesus. We have seen Jesus through the word of God. Have you seen him in your life? Have you seen and heard of him in the lives of those around you? Then tell someone. Jesus has been made known to us We have seen and we have heard it, and we want to tell others about it. We need to share Jesus boldly, not just at Christmas time, but throughout the year, so that others can experience this fellowship with Christ. And I love that, looking back at the passage. So why do we proclaim? Why do we share these things? Why are we so passionate about telling others? It says in verse 3, so that you too may have fellowship. So that you can have fellowship with the Father. You can have fellowship with the Son. Do you have fellowship with Christ? Do you know him? Are you known by him? Are you sharing that with others? I mentioned at the beginning that we're going to close with communion. So why don't you grab the elements with me now? Jesus instituted 2,000 years ago communion as a way for us to remember the fellowship that we have with him, the fellowship that we have with the Father. And that fellowship is made available because of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. This bread representing his body that was broken on our behalf, and this cup representing his blood that was shed for you and for me. And as you hold these elements in your hands, consider the 5 marks of a genuine believer that we talked about today, and take a look back over the past year. Now, we said 2020 has left a mark on each of us. And as we look forward to the year ahead, which one of these marks would you say, man, I struggled with this one? I need to seek forgiveness. I need to seek his help. Because the reality is, as we look forward to the year ahead, we can't do any of these things unless we're dependent on him, unless we're abiding in him, unless we make our home in Jesus Christ. It's not possible. You can't muster up enough strength to just do more and to be better next year. It comes from a dependence on Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and as we take these elements, as we're reminded of the sacrifice that you made on our behalf, we recognize how broken we are. We recognize how frail we are. We recognize how in need of a Savior we are, and how you stepped out of heaven. You came for us. You died the death that we should have died. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we cling to you. We want to make our home in you in 2021. In Jesus' name, amen.